Welcome to Mystics and Broomsticks podcast with Melanie Dawn and Tanya Ryan. Okay, so we're unpacking. How many times have we heard the phrase, it's happening for you, it's not happening to you? And it's funny because these spiritual phrases are sometimes like low-key triggering because they can kind of inspire like spiritual bypassing, right? You just it's almost like getting spiritually brushed off. Like, oh, you're going through a hard time? Sorry about your luck. Well, it's happening for you, not to you. All right, let's move on. So I think we're using today to unravel what it really means that it's happening for you and not to you. Is that a good summary of what we want to talk about?
Yeah, I think you did it perfectly. I would have started out with, less than that.
Well, if I'm anything, it's wordy. So how do we get these episodes so long? It's just me talking far too much about something that needs far less words.
I was just saying to Tanya, we're going back and forth about what we could talk about, and I've been going through it. I feel like every time I come on here, I'm going through it. But this one feels like a lot longer. The eclipse season. I don't know too much about astrology. I know that's kind of more your territory, Tanya. But there is all of these eclipse things happening, as well as I'm a Pisces sun. So my sign was coming to an end. A lot of things wrapping up. I decided to put everything on hold. And I thought I would be writing by now, but I'm not. I'm more TikToking. And what I notice is that my dreams have become really awake while my daytime has been pretty numb. Like I've been kind of zoning out, like I said, TikTok. If there's anything it's meant to do is to waste your time.
100%.
Find some great recipes. I'll give it that. But I don't know. I feel like it pulls you into some kind of a time warp because like half hour can go by really quickly. And so I think I'm numbing during the day and expressing violent dreams in my sleep and very vivid dreams, ones that I'm remembering, like that I've never really experienced before during this. I don't know if it's like a portal of eclipse season or whatever. It felt like a bubble to me, a really heightened bubble. And I do feel like I'm coming out, but we were just saying, I think that when I myself or anyone's going through these things where people say it's happening for you, when you're in it, your eyes are rolling to the back of your head. But now I'm trained, I'm attuned to kind of reject help if it's offered to me. Here, go do this. Here, go do that. Make yourself feel better. Because I know that what is happening is I picture kind of when you're a kid and you'd get Buckley's for your cough or cold. And I don't know what is in that stuff, but it works. The next day it'd always be better. And it's that kind of crappy, shitty time is the medicine. That's the Buckley's. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't feel right, but it does have an end. And just feeling
like you're better off to take the Buckley's than not take the Buckley's. You're better off to just.
Yeah. The hippie in me now says, no, don't do that. Ride it out. But as a kid who got better very quickly after it, yeah, it is that. And you don't want someone to come put their hand over your mouth, hypothetically, and say, oh, this tastes really bad. I don't I want to save you from having it and prolong your whatever kind of. And here's another one. There's a lesson in everything. And there's a silver lining in everything. But prolong the lesson, because I do think that every time we go into this, it is another lesson. At least it is for me.
I think that too, when you're in it, I've told people in readings, for instance, that are in this situation, it always comes through as don't look for the lesson right now. Yes. Don't try to peel out, don't silver lining yourself while you're going through the things. You don't have to minimalize. You can, and I dare to say you should feel all the feelings. Be, if you're mad, be mad. If you're sad, be sad. Grieve, do what you got to do. Don't try to find the lesson in like while the hardship is occurring, don't look for it. But after, you know, the water has settled a little bit and, you know, we're in clear skies, it's easier to look back and go, oh yeah, here's what I took out of that. Or here's who I am because of that instance. Or like, I think as, you know, intuitives and readers and healers, and when this is what we do for work, I've also had that, you know, experience become relevant to making intuitive commentary. Like all of a sudden, you know, that experience comes to me through, you know, talking to this person and going, oh, they must be going through something similar. And I can kind of give them more peace or comfort or centeredness or grounding or something to connect to while they're going through that experience, because I kind of like, oh yeah, hey, I climbed that mountain. Yeah, you kind of want to just go real slow around that one corner because it's a little tricky. Like you can just kind of offer support, I think. And then what is it that there's a turn of phrase around the shaman of the world? Like it's the you know, it's more or less you can't be the healer without having the wound, kind of a thing. It's also very Chiron coded.
Yeah. You said something at the beginning there that I can't remember now, but I had.
So I put too many words in there again, is what you're saying. Just feel free to interrupt me.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what that was now.
But it's not like voice notes. Oh. I always love when I can replay them. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You were talking about that. It's not like you're not going to find the lesson right now. It'll show up later. And I think that's because our mind is coded in the past, and whatever is happening to us that is so sort of catastrophic or feels so big and so challenging, which is also expansive and be painful, it's something we haven't seen before. So we can't comprehend the lesson or undertake to know where we're going, because that would just lead us straight back to our past. And this is like, that's where I'm like, I know, like who stops doing their work? Like, I'm like, I know there's a purpose. I know there's a meaning. I know there's something here. And then, everything coming through, like my partner and I were just chatting this morning and he was saying, like, let go of it. You don't have to worry about anything, let go of it. And I'm privileged to be able to receive that. But it, at the same time, I'm like, but I still want to know. And I like literally want to say that out loud, but I know it's nothing I've never, ever seen before. And if I keep trying to control it, it's going to just, because do you know how many events I've started to plan on dates and times that I don't like? Just even being like, oh, I got to be busy. And I'm like, oh, I'll plan this because this will sell. Or I'll plan this because this will sell. And the whole time my body's going, no, stop this. Like, don't do that because this isn't for you. Like,
right.
And my head is saying they'll sell because they sold in the past. Mm-hmm. But they likely won't
right.
Because it's meant to be different and change completely. And it's something that, oh, this is the other thing that keeps coming up. My will is your will. So like I read Course in Miracles and we get so controlling around what we want to come into our life that we're overriding God's will or spirit's will, whoever you work with, but we're overriding that. So taking it in as my will is your will. I want what you want, and being open to whatever that is. It's kind of a mantra that's made me feel better, at least in the last 24 hours, just newly started to like really anchor into that. I want what you want.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like a slight departure, but it feels relevant. So I'm going to speak to it. I just had a reading and she was going through a similar theme of like stagnancy or stuckness, or like, you know, she's kind of in the mill, the bubble, the whatever of like, what's going to happen. And I think that's kind of why she booked the reading, when she was like, okay, I need some direction. I need to know what's going to happen. I need to, you know, that kind of thing. And I kind of, like, I delivered the news that no one wants to hear when they're that type of person. So when you're, you know, this ambitious, you know, self-directive, self-motivated type person, they don't often want to hear, okay, just hang on and just sit down for a second. Like that is it. Like that's all you can do is nothing, do nothing for a minute. And, it's tricky for me as the pragmatic soul that I am. It's really hard for me to like surrender into a directive where I'm like offering, and I do it. I listen to the intuitive, you know, but there's a part of me that's like still Tanya. So I'm like, but I can't just tell someone to stop like working or like, cause I didn't know what I was telling her to stop doing. Cause that's the other thing. She hardly talked the whole reading. I just talked. So I didn't have full context for what we were talking about. I just knew there was a period of stagnancy where she didn't feel like, and I'm assuming this is work and livelihood related. And so I'm like, well, you can't just tell someone to stop working. Like she could become homeless, like, you know, but it's also a personal programming, right? Like I can't stop because I don't want to get homeless or whatever. So I want to share a hack it's kind of a hack that I've learned, through readings, through my own personal experience. But it was like fine tuned, with this woman today. So I'm actually just really grateful for that reading because I learned something through it. So in the past, I'm going to add to the story just a little bit. Cause again, remember I'm like an expert worder, adding words. You want more words, I'll give you more words.
Great words.
So, when we are, the universe is a live sentient being. So, a lot of us, especially those of us that, are more ambitious or more self-motivated, like have that kind of energy behind them. We see life as this sort of like, you know, race or marathon and not even race in like the speedway, but just that we are the runners and the universe is the finish line, or our accomplishments or our goals are the finish line. So we run and then we cross the finish line. In a race though, the finish line never moves. It just stays where it is and you must go to it. But the universe doesn't work like that. It is a collaborative sentient being. So the metaphor that was given to this woman in the reading was, I was like, if you called your friend to go for coffee and you said, hey, I'll meet you for coffee on Tuesday at 2:00. And your friend said, sorry, I can't be there Tuesday. I could do Wednesday. You wouldn't reply to her and be like, I will see you there Tuesday at 2:00. You wouldn't do that.
That's a great example.
Right? Because you are collaborating with that person. Yeah. And if your goal is to meet that person, then you have to shift in order to, like, you have to work with them. Yeah. And so the universe.
And you got to listen.
Right. And yeah. Sometimes it means waiting. Sometimes it means stopping. Sometimes it means, you know, not like you could show up at that coffee house 20 times over, but the only time your friend is going to be there is Wednesday at 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, it's reminding ourselves that the universe is, a living, breathing collaborator. And sometimes when things are not like, especially if you are actively pursuing them, if they're not coming to you, if you're not reaching them, if you just kind of feel like something's always beyond your reach, it might be that you are out of sync with the universe, that you're not listening to those cues or those calls, or it's not time yet. Or like in this person's case specifically, it was a timing thing. I was like, I think you got to hang on. Like, I think you just got to wait. So here's the hack I have learned for dealing with the universe when you're like either impatient or you have a mortgage, you know, like, you have to do the human things, is you can also decide on, what I used to do was deadline it. What I learned today was even better. But, so I was explaining to her about the deadline theory, which is I'm like, okay, like give the universe a deadline, say, okay, listen, I will surrender trust. I will like completely, you know, but by June 1st, man, I'm going to have to do something here. Like I'm going to have to, you know, go back and start throwing out resumes because I got to pay the bills. I got kids to feed. I got shit to do. Like, you know, that's the reality of life. Okay. So that does work. You can put a time limit on it. And what I do suggest if you do the time limit is you sit in a meditative state and you feel through the time, which means, and how you do it could be a date. It could be like, oh, how does a week feel? How does 5 weeks feel? But you should like kind of feel into it. This also works if you're struggling to price your products or services, or if you're struggling with like, I don't know, time. You can feel numbers. Anyways, so you feel into this. It's a little ambiguous, but I trust you and you can do it. So you set a deadline that way. So the deadline is cool. We like the deadline, but what I learned today, okay, ready people, ready? This one's good, is it's very similar, but essentially you're saying, okay, if, and because you could use this differently. You could do a deadline, but you could also do like a bank account thing. If my bank account gets to this number, and this is where the wording shifts a little bit. It's, that is my sign from you, universe, that it's time for me to get going. So it's not just like, then it just, for me, feels like less of an ultimatum to the universe and more feels like, hey, it's more of a boundary. It's going, hey, if my bank account gets to $500, that is the sign that you are sending me that I need to, okay, hop up and get into action. Or if I have not heard from any job opportunity by this time, that is a sign that I'm going to do this. Like I'm going to put into, you know, action anything, these things.
Like, so you're still negotiating with the universe, but how I think it kind of works is that it's like giving you the a time frame where you can actually fully let go and then right. Say, okay, well, but I have this catch. But that you coming into work or go back to work or give your resumes out, that is probably still part of the universe's plan, right? So it's just like, it's really just giving your human self this like, okay, I'm giving myself this time. It's, I don't even know so much if you're negotiating with the universe, but it's like, you're actually saying to yourself, can I let go? Mm-hmm. And then once you do, that's the big thing. Maybe you need, maybe whatever you want to happen, and I say that in quotes because we really don't know, doesn't come true during that time. Something else does. There's other things that are leading to it, which is like leading back to Tanya's opener. This is where people can be really annoying. And when you're going through it and in the middle of it and they're like, yeah, just let go, surrender, you know, it's all coming. I get how corny and cheesy it is, but I think people say that because it's so true. And my mom used to say to me that, cause I'd say my biggest plight that I've been up against is feeling loved and accepted. And my mom used to say, love yourself. And I would be so furious. Like, can't you see me over here loving myself? Like I put lots of selfies up. I do my makeup. I'm doing all these things that say I'm so proud of myself. My body was the best it had ever been. I was like, you know, energetic, excited about life, but I didn't this. So she was true. She was right and not right in the same kind of way. I needed to learn how to receive love. I knew how to, this isn't true. I thought I knew how to give love, but it wasn't until I learned how to receive love that I knew how people wanted to really be loved. Right. And that was the biggest break for me, is that I had to stop trying. So I had to open myself up to really see the moments where I was loved, because I could just reject them so quickly and you'd miss them. And over time that would make people feel terrible. You know, it wouldn't make your relationship very deep. So that's kind of like where she said that. And I was so angry, but looking back on it now, like when Tanya said, the lesson is there, but you don't see it. I heard the lesson. I rebuked the lesson. And then now I look back and I was like, she was half right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was super annoying.
And isn't it always? I think especially when it comes from a parent. I don't know what our...
I think especially when it's true. Especially when it's true. That is, yeah, those are the worst ones to hear, because you're kind of already having your dialogue and your ego says, nope, we checked that box. We checked this box. So it can't be that. Mm-hmm. And then someone says it, it's like, how dare you? Can't you see all the work I'm doing?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is true across the board, but I feel like I've also had times where I've gotten defensive because, yeah, it's my perception, but I am doing that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's that the language is just like, wow, it's probably timing. It's probably lots of things, but there are sometimes too. And this, I am so weird about language. I love language. I love choosing the right words. And then all this like astrology content I've been absorbing lately and my charts are all reinforcing that I have this like thing with language. So I'm like, cool. Nice to validate that. And so sometimes I know that I have not been able to receive things because of how it was said. Like, so your mom's saying like, yeah, love yourself, but maybe what, like if it was translated slightly differently, it might've been easier to.
I think at that point in time, I didn't want it to be anything to do with me.
No, that's, I get that too.
Yeah, that's like that. It, even if she was like, well, people need to learn how to love you, that would have been better.
Yeah.
But that's, it was just because it was so close to the truth that I kept putting myself in situations where I knew that there was potential or risk to be destroyed, rejected, hurt, and that I craved it. I think that was kind of like the biggest slap in the face, is to look back and see, well, that's why I got so mad, is because I actually desired these type of relationships because that's what equaled love to me at that time. Until I learned to receive love is when I started to have deeper relationships with people, because you can't have deep relationships with people who create that kind of chaos. Mm-hmm. And I needed to get over the chaos, right? So I needed to heal and heal my nervous system more than anything. Nervous systems, when it comes to like beliefs and things that are happening and all of this stuff, every opportunity that we feel challenged in is another opportunity to learn how to regulate our nervous system and to heal through that. Mm-hmm. I found profound. I don't do like the somatic thing, not that I'm going to look into it, but just being with myself when I'm experiencing those emotions, whether it be let's say I got rejected from something that I wanted or whatever. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, I have to go into those feelings and soothe myself. I have to learn to soothe myself. So then if someone comes in and tries to do it for me, I don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like it, because I know that I'm the one who has to have my back. I'm the one who has to be the self-soother. Mm-hmm. Everything else can be stripped away or taken away. And that was like, it's kind of leading me back to the way I used to think, is I need this to heal or I need this to feel better. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I love the support. I know you and I have had multiple conversations where you've like broke down things with me, let me speak about how I'm feeling. And that's much different than someone being like, oh, well, you know, like making excuses around it or trying to make me feel better. Just let me regulate. Let me regulate through this so it doesn't become a recording that my future is played off of.
So what you find value in is someone giving you a space to allow your feelings to exist, as opposed to someone feeling the need to like soothe your feelings away.
So we just did this before we climbed on. We were talking, it's too personal to share, but I was telling Tanya about a dream that I had. And then Tanya, you mirrored back to me what you saw in that dream, like how you kind of were perceiving the symbolism in it. Mm-hmm. And through that, I was able to be removed enough to see that, and it all made sense. So I like to be mirrored, where people are like, okay, so I'm hearing you basically say this, or this is how I'm seeing it, instead of, like just a pointed, definite answer. I like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's like a really empowered way to go about like that. I think that type of conversation facilitates a self-healing approach versus maybe another approach where it's like, I need you to heal me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
I like having,
I want you in it. I want you here, but
I need your, you know, your body, your mind, your voice, but just be here with me while, like, it's kind of like, I don't know, when I used to go to the dentist to hold my mom's hand, it's not like she could feel the pain for me or feel my fear for me or whatever, but holding her hand and just having her there was what I needed. That was helpful. And I wonder if it's just that we are such doers, right? Like, we just want, I don't know, maybe we all have like a little bit of a hero complex or a, you know, a savior complex of sorts. And we just want to like, we just want to be able to come in and take people's pain away or take away their suffering or take away their complaining. Like, maybe, you know, depending on how honest with ourselves we're being, right? Like, I just don't want to hear you whine anymore. So I just want to make it go away. And so we struggle to be that mirror, that space. Cause it's, I mean, it's not, I don't think it is an easy role. Like, an easy role is to be able to come in and fix it. I want to be able to make the solve the problem.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. And so the people who are fixers, they're uncomfortable with what this person's going through. So they can't even mirror it, because to mirror it would be to have to feel it, to have to sit in it with them. Yeah. And that's why they go into that, oh my God, I immediately need to fix this, because I'm uncomfortable with it in my own. I've repressed stuff that this is brushing up against, and we need to get through this as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Without me mirroring you back, without me being able to fully receive how you are feeling.
Yes, I fully can relate to this in a variety of ways. but one of them is, it's hard to tell this story without making my husband sound like a low-key like abuser, but he's not. Okay. My husband is a very safe, healthy, lovely person. But my husband also has like quite a temper on him. Like, he burns hot. So it's not, you know, it's not often, but he burns hot. And to be able to, like, I have learned to allow him, permit him to feel those feelings despite how uncomfortable it can make me. Cause I just like, how dare you be mad in my presence? Right? How dare you feel anything but blissful and amazing while I am around you? Like, and really the audacity of me to think, like, you know, that a person is not gonna have those feelings. So it's been a good growth opportunity and a safe place for me to grow, which I'm grateful for, to just like learn how to let my husband be mad, know that it's not my problem to fix it, know that I can be a place where he's allowed to be mad around me without me having to fix it. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of, it's just really shifted. And I think it's made me a better parent, because I can apply that same thing to my kids. Like, hey, it's okay that you're mad around me, and I don't need to, like, it doesn't need to make me mad because you're mad.
Yeah.
And I think that in the last couple years, for sure, like between my kids and my husband, that one has really been like drilled in hard.
Yeah. This is just a new thing for me too. Anger used to make me angry, so then I could put a stop to it. I needed to out-anger the anger, because it made me feel so unsafe. And now I don't have to, right? It's okay, this is bringing up stuff in me, but I can soothe myself. So that's where that like mirroring and allowing and being in someone's presence without taking it on or trying to fix it is just such beautiful relationship between why human beings crave each other.
Mm-hmm. I think
need each other.
I think it's such a gift. Like, well, just speaking as someone who, to be in a place where I know I can be mad and my partner is not going to take it on as his own, has been such a gift. And so he inspired, you know, this turn of events or whatever, literally, as in I'm in the environment, like he's a human being that gets mad, but also I saw how he just kept his cool if I got mad. And I was like, oh, well, I want to be able to like offer you that same place. Cause I know it feels like such a gift when I feel safe to just, you know, burn a little, but just be like, oh, pissed off about this, that, or the other. And to not be around someone who then takes it personally. Now you have to not only be mad about the original thing, but now you're having to like soothe the first person or feel guilty for feeling normal human feelings or whatever it might be. It just becomes this like feedback loop of like fucking chaos. Yeah. So it's just, it's a much more peaceful. And I think learning that anger is technically like, it's a neutral like experience. Like it's just an emotion. And to be able to write it off as, oh, those are just uncomfortable feelings. Like not to minimalize it, but to know like, and those are survivable. Like I am still safe. I am still okay. Yeah. You know, I can feel guilty and still feel okay, like, or, you know, and still be okay. I can feel angry and still be okay. And I can, you know, be in the same room with my partner who is angry and still be okay. And just kind of like it, to me, it like separates the knots that can get woven together and just like keeps the threads clear and creates certainly a much more peaceful existence, which I'm here for.
Same. Should we wrap it up on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Mystics and Broomsticks podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can of course reach us on Instagram at Mystics and Broomsticks or the Melanie Dawn. And then I am at Tanya Ryan XO. And then of course you can email us if you wish, Mystics and Broomsticks podcast at gmail.com. Peace in, peace out.